much about.
Why did Kevin poop his own pants?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Where are you?
There we go.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong now?
Couldn't find his mic.
You gotta push certain buttons.
106.7?
Not sure why that happened. 102? 106.7, camera. What happened? Would you guess?
You tell us, man. Sure, aneurysm.
Details on how to buy tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Nope, for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is coming up very soon. 8:39. Yep, sure would like to have played that Tiger Woods clip. That would have been great. And it is 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. Sorry.
This is where you hit the button like we discussed. There you go.
And now.
106.7 K-Rock is...
There it is. There it is.
Our feature presentation.
How you gonna start like that?
The big dog is back!
How you gonna start the show like that?
Because we missed you, ladies and gentlemen.
Please.
Return to the Kev Dog. The monkey is back in the zoo.
Morning, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning, the 19th of March.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hi.
Are you tan, rested, and ready?
Oh, no.
You need another vacation.
Yesterday, this morning, I was in Spain.
Yeah.
Yesterday, at this time, I was in Spain.
Really?
He's wearing a beret.
I am wearing a beret.
No one's addressing. He's wearing a beret.
It is weird. And he brought a bowl.
And he's smoking.
Yeah.
A bowl.
I was thinking of Spain, a matador. It was weird. It's my first thought.
I liked it.
Okay. I am surprised that you remember how to speak English. I figured you'd be oblying fluently by now.
I was pretty fluent, I got to be honest.
By the way, I did notice you ended the email yesterday with gracias.
See?
You're such a diva.
Fluent.
Fluent.
Who else except for somebody fluent can use that word?
You're right.
That's true.
You're
Thank
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're going to tell us a little bit about it later, but was it fantastic?
Yes, it was awesome. And I'd like to announce right now that at the end of the year, I'm moving to Barcelona.
This backfired.
I wouldn't
mind. No, just kidding.
Barcelona is one of the 4 or 5 cities I've been around the world in my travels that I would go totally could see living here.
Yeah, it's pretty
Great
fantastic.
City. Great city.
I'll just tell you one quick story right now. So I get there. I'm tired. My whole body clock is off for some reason. So it's midnight and I'm wide awake. So I think I'll go to a club. Why not?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I go to a club, and I get there at 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the bouncer guy at the door says, oh, I'm sorry. You're about an hour early.
Oh, no. It was like a Tuesday.
I mean, yes.
Welcome
I mean,
to Spain, baby.
Honestly.
Wow.
Those clubs go from about 2 to about 8 a.m. Yeah.
Oh, I'm tired.
Perfect for you.
Just thinking about it.
It's not ideal for me, though, Bean. I would have to leave Barcelona to stay alive.
Yeah. It's your European Vegas.
Correct, yes.
I do like that you flew 9 time zones and then said, my body clock was off for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like he flew to Vegas.
I couldn't figure out what happened.
How did this happen? Why does it not feel like the exact same time as when I left? Well, we're very excited to have you back, and we're very excited to fill you in on stuff that you missed. One of the things that we were sad about is that you missed all of St. Patrick's Day and the weekend and the celebration and the party and me doing pudding shots.
You don't do St. Patrick's Day. You never have.
I went to crawfish boil over the weekend and did pudding shots.
What?
Yeah.
With Bailey's and...
Jameson.
Jameson is, yes.
Okay, now I know.
I don't know my alcohol. But
no,
it
he
was,
really did.
I know, but he didn't remember.
Oh, he had no idea. No.
It was phenomenal. No. But anyway, we also missed the opportunity to enjoy this magic again on St. Patrick's Day.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I mean, that did happen.
2 years ago.
2 years in a row.
Welcome back, man.
Yeah.
Making you feel good early.
This is good.
It's been quite a tribute, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right, do we have time for the thing?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This story annoys me to no end. You know how I am, I'm a champion of women. There's no one who loves women more than I do. And sure. I'm in favor of if women want to go topless, I support that. I'm not going to be the one to stand in their way.
What an open mind you have, B.
Thank you. I see women who get a hard time sometimes if they're going braless. There are people who complain about that. I'm in full support of that. If that's what they want to do, it's a woman's body. She has the right to wear as little as possible.
I mean, really listen to women. A little as possible.
Right. I don't really listen to women.
Wow.
Oh, that's the whole drop. Okay. Yeah. So Emily O'Connor is, I'm championing her right now. She is from Britain. She was flying from the Birmingham airport to the Canary Islands earlier this month. And the cabin crew came up and said that they were not going to allow her to board the plane wearing what she was wearing. They told her she was going to have to leave. In fact, she was surrounded by cabin crew who started to push her kind of off the plane and take her luggage and say, you can't come on here looking like this.
Oh, no.
So she stopped, stood her ground, and she said to the fellow passengers on the plane, is there anybody on this plane who is offended by what I am wearing?
Oh.
And she's really upset, by the way. She's very close to crying, she says.
Right.
And no passenger raised his or her hand.
And then they started to chant, let her in! Let her in!
She said, look, I was just hot. And she also pointed out that there was a man who was wearing just a vest and shorts on the plane. And he was not at all challenged by the cabin crew.
You were on her plane?
So she was asked to leave the plane. And eventually they allowed her to stay because she had a cousin elsewhere on the plane who gave her a heavy jacket that she then had to put on and wear for the duration of the flight. Oof. Now, I have texted and WhatsApped all of you the photo. I want you to take a look at the young woman involved in this discussion. Miss Emily O'Connor.
All right, that's ridiculous.
Now, describe the outfit, Allie. You know girl clothes better than I do.
It's essentially a camisole, but it would be kind of cut a little bit underneath. So it is a belly shirt, but her pants are up past her belly button. Mm-hmm. It looks like if you... like a longer bra or a tankini.
It looks like more than a sports bra.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like a tankini bathing suit.
She would be overdressed for Coachella.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
You would see that outfit anywhere in the world where young women go, right?
Yes.
It's just a completely appropriate and tasteful and comfortable outfit for her to
wear.
Well, yes. It is a little skin showing, just so it's out there.
But she's also 22,
yes,
by the way.
That's what I was going to say, is that it's more age appropriate than anything.
And there's only skin showing, really, if you think about it, on where her stomach is showing.
It's like her belly button.
If that was down farther, it would just be a tank top.
Yeah, correct. It's a tank top. Okay. Yeah. The airline says that they have an appropriate attire policy that applies equally to men and women of all ages, and our crews have the difficult task of implementing that policy, and they don't always get it right. What is it about young women that drives everybody else crazy? Is it the older women think, oh, I can't look like that, so no one should? Is it the older men who are afraid of getting horny if they have to see a woman like that? I mean, why is she being persecuted for just looking like a regular person?
Do you know what the flight attendant or whoever it was that threw her off the plane looked like? Because I would guess old and male.
Yeah, I would guess old and female.
Okay, old and female. Yeah. Old and female, for sure.
I mean, I know you hear about, puritanical feelings that people have, going all the way back that many people are grown up to believe that sexy thoughts are bad thoughts and are affront to God and whatnot. This woman is doing absolutely nothing wrong.
She's doing everything right.
How can so many people freak out about it? Like, where do you guys think this is coming from?
It sounds to me like one person freaked out, and that was the attendant.
It was the whole cabin crew, though.
The whole cabin crew?
Apparently agreed that it was an inappropriate outfit and that she had to be removed from the plane.
That's crazy.
As I said, they have apologized to her, and she was able to stay wearing a big, heavy jacket. Because, God forbid, she looked like a person.
Big, heavy jacket.
Just a parka in a plane.
That's comfortable.
Come on.
So, anyway.
What airline was this?
This was, let me see, this was Thomas Cook Airlines.
Okay, this is a made-up story.
That's a legitimate European airline. That's a real airline.
Thomas Cook?
Yes, I've flown that before.
I've never heard that.
No, you haven't.
Yes. Thomas Cook Affair?
Is this in the news?
Yes.
So anyway, they have apologized and said it's clear we should have handled the situation better. But I wanted you guys to see that picture and just think how crazy that story is.
If I look like her, I'd be wearing that right now. So apologies to everyone that I don't.
I am wearing that right now.
And looking pretty good.
Thank you.
Too, I might say.
I'm not going to fly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why, God, why?
Got a brand new internet roundup?
Yeah, we do.
On the show
greatest
today?
Anti-drug PSA you've ever heard.
Oh, fantastic.
This is going to get you off the molly or whatever you got hooked on in Spain there, Kevin.
Hooked on the molly.
I did get offered cocaine 30 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder you're moving to Spain.
I turned it down 29. I think that's a pretty good average.
Yeah. I noticed you were moving faster than usual today.
Another feature called Is It Racist?
Now, were you around for the debut of Is It Racist?
No.
I don't think so.
You missed it. Okay. Hmm. Yeah, I think it's a thing.
I have a story about my vacation where I am 100% shocked I'm not dead.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Danielle.
Jensen, you sounded disappointed.
I was more just like, I'm putting myself in the shoes of how sad I'll be when he tells the story.
Danielle and the power washer. I have no idea what that is.
Again, I may have almost killed my wife.
Oh, no.
Go on.
Okay.
I rented it, though. I'll tell you that.
We have a lot of...
Oh, Jesus.
It was good.
We play a lot of sound bites on this show, and a lot of people have their favorites. Mm-hmm. And they write to us, and they say, why haven't you played this? Why didn't you play that in a certain situation?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take calls from people about your favorite sound bites.
They alert us if they hear something in conversation that needs to be a sound bite.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
write to
They're
us.
They're very
say,
upset.
Oh, yeah. You got to pull it.
You've let people down a lot.
Now we're going to talk to RJ Bell about the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
If you already know you're going to live a long time, you want to stick around because we've got Black Keys tickets for shows in September and November to give away on today's Kevin and Bean Show. 9 a.m.
I'm not sure that's living forever.
Well, I'm just saying. You know, a lot of people don't plan that far ahead.
Can you make it through the end of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just saying these shows are a long ways away. This is like that next month or something.
Sure.
Anyway, Life is Beautiful is the grand prize drawing. That's the 3-night hotel stay and round-trip airfare to Las Vegas in September. The forum tickets are in November. Your chance, 9 a.m. this morning. Details at krock.com. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, I'm not sure if Kevin knew when he was out that James Gunn has been reinstated for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I did not know that.
Yes, great news. And on top of that, he was supposed to be doing the Suicide Squad movie. He's allowed to do that, finish that, and then move on.
Wow.
So it's kind of a win-win for Marvel, DC viewers, James Gunn, everybody. But here's the thing. Don't call it Suicide Squad 2. It is a complete and total reboot of the franchise.
Ooh.
What?
Is that right?
I'd be into that.
Because people were like, oh, God, even James Gunn, can he save Suicide Squad? Well, according to producer Peter Safran, he says don't call it Suicide Squad 2, total reboot. He said, here's the interesting part. It's everything you would hope from a James Gunn script, and I think that says a lot, and that promises a lot, and I know that we're going to deliver a lot.
So ultimately, we're just going to pretend the first one didn't happen.
I think that's basically they're all saying. Yeah. So he gets to do that, finish it, and then head on over to Volume 3, which he already wrote. So he gets to just go over, fine-tune some things, and direct it.
What was the problem with the first Suicide Squad, you guys?
It wasn't good.
I know Jared Leto's Joker did not catch fire.
No.
I don't know. It was sort of... I think if I had to put my finger on something, it would be the writing. It was just sort of poorly written and poorly done. And this was like the actors couldn't deliver some of the lines because they were stupid. I don't know. It was bad.
I will say one thing about it is that to the writer's credit, they had to service a lot of celebrities in the movie.
Who hasn't? Oh.
and it's very difficult to get that many egos and make it an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
So I felt that they tried to do too much in too little amount of time. And still the movie was too long.
And Harley Quinn worked, though, right? That character.
That does seem to connect. But if it's a reboot, man, doesn't that mean everybody, the actors and stuff, get redone?
We think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. Excited about that.
Yeah, there you have it. You guys, what do you think about the movie Pretty Woman? One of the most iconic rom-coms of all time, wouldn't you say?
It's very 90s.
Yeah.
It is very 90s. Julia Roberts just did an interview, a profile in The Guardian, and she said, I don't think you could make that movie right now, right? So many things you could poke a hole in. Which I found in, well, so many things you could poke a hole in.
Come on.
Well, yeah, but I think more now people are more accepting and understanding of sex workers. I think now you could do it and do it maybe even better.
The thing that people seem to have a problem with looking back at that movie now is like the white knight.
That he came in and saved her.
Yeah, yeah. On a white horse at the end.
Like, convertible.
Oh, convertible. I see
but
a horse.
But it might have been white.
But that was the reference, right? Is that he was supposed to be the white knight saving her.
Yeah, he saved her from her awful existence to, okay.
That's what people seem to have an issue with now, yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I'd like to see it done over.
James Gunn?
James Gunn. Yeah. With all the cast of Suicide Squad.
But Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn and all the parts of Pretty Woman.
Yes.
Be down for that.
I like
it. She just kills all the Johns.
Sure.
Wow, this took a real turn.
Not really a rom-com.
I don't know. I'm kind of now even more into it.
I just sold it.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Oh, here's a quote by Daryl Hannah from 2007. One of the eight stars that turned down the role. They sold it as a romantic fairy tale when, in fact, it's a story about a prostitute who becomes a lady by being kept by a rich and powerful man. She thought it was degrading to women.
A lot of people think that looking back, but I don't know. I mean, as a kid, when I watched it, I didn't think that, obviously.
As a kid, I was just like, how do I stay at the Reach Bev Will and take a bath and listen to Prince?
Become hooker.
And become a sex worker. And I didn't, unfortunately. And I'm here.
You can't make all dreams.
As a kid, you referred to it as the Reach Bevwill. That's what I like.
Well, that's what they call it in the movie. The Reach Bevwill. She writes it on the pizza. I have watched that movie a lot.
Too many times.
Wow.
Some would say.
Good Lord.
Slippery Little Suckers.
So, yeah, the little oyster because it flies out at dinner when she was trying to be all classy. What? Hey. Some birthdays for you guys. Bruce Willis, right?
Right.
Right.
What's your favorite Bruce Willis? Pulp Fiction, Moonlighting, Die Hard, Sixth Sense, Hostage, Armageddon.
Probably Die Hard and then Armageddon.
Yeah.
I did love Armageddon. I know a lot of people didn't like that.
I'll go Die Hard.
Okay. All right.
Bean, no.
I mean, he's not really my thing. Probably Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
I would say, yeah.
All right.
I mean, it was the best movie of all of those, I think.
How dare
that's
you?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that's just... What? Glenn Close and Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw. He's out. He's out of the opener, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
pitching the first game.
He's right. Struggling, you guys.
So, that's what's happening.
Guys, we got the whole gang back together.
How about that?
I predict there will never be a day where we won't all be on the show at the same time again. I think this is forever, you guys.
Agreed.
Kevin is back from vacation. Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico. Hey, King.
Hi. It's good to see the monkey back.
It is very much. You ready to hear a new batch of Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
I already heard it, so.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Dave, he's just introducing the feature. You don't have to say you've seen them all.
Well, I mean, he's just asking a question.
I'm the one who collects them, so,
you know.
All right.
I'm always truthful, man.
I felt like he was being kind of contrary as well.
He was.
If you haven't seen the Avengers Endgame trailer number 2, that's on the roundup, as well as just released this morning the new trailer for Toy Story 4. You definitely want to check those out. And a couple of others worth mentioning. Our friend Mike Realm, by the way, does astonishing work.
He's a genius. Yeah.
Remixing video. He has done one for Into the Spider-Verse, which is amazing. You need to see that. And I'm sorry, this dog that's watching The Lion King is the smartest dog I've ever seen because... Look, a lot of dogs don't even, they don't react to anything on a television screen. Right. Other dogs will maybe look up if they hear a dog barking. This dog is full on invested in the story and reacting to what's happening during the story on the screen. He is playing the part of Simba in his head. It's crazy.
Are you positive there's no, like, dog trainer just off the camera who's, like, telling him what to do, throwing him a treat?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just astonishing. All right, if you ever thought about doing drugs, I'm going to tell you that comedian Laura Cleary has put together a song that you need to never forget because she'll tell you, if you're offered drugs, you kick the drug dealer in the groin. That's what you do. And she's put it to a very peppy song.
Kick to the groin, groin, groin. Kick to the groin, groin.
If you're hanging with your homies and someone offers you crack, just say, no thank you, and smack them in the sack.
Say no to dope. Say no to dope.
Get a pug mouth drugs. Get a pug mouth drugs.
Instead of taking heroin, be a vegetarian.
Oh. Eat that broccoli. Eat that broccoli.
salt make you want to eat your face? Don't do that. Oh. Go on a boat race. Don't eat your face.
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 It's rolling, rolling.
So the next time someone asks you to do drugs, how are you going to respond? A.
You want to buy some crack, huh?
Yes, sure, I'd love to.
Oh, freeze. You're both under arrest. You're going to jail forever.
B.
You want to buy some arm heroin?
Are you asking me because I'm black?
Yes, I am.
Or C.
You want to buy some nose cocaine?
Kick to the groin!
Oh, my groin! Oh!
The correct answer is C. Always kick the drug dealer straight to the groin.
Oh, my God.
See, we've all learned a valuable lesson here today. She's amazing, and she's doing all the singing and dancing. She's super pregnant, too, right?
Yeah.
Super pregnant while she's doing it. All right, here's a guy who is a sea captain. He is taking tours, I guess. Is that what he's doing down in South Africa? I think he takes people out to see whales and whatnot. Well, it's very choppy seas on this particular day, and somehow he gets thrown off the boat, Kevin, and ends up where? In the whale's mouth.
No.
He is inside the whale.
Nope.
Call him Jonah. Here's his story talking about what it was like.
I was trying to get a shot of a shark going through the bait ball. And it all happened very fast because it was the first day and you kind of need to tune into the whole scenario. The next moment, it got dark and I felt some pressure on my hip. And once I felt the pressure, I instantly knew a whale had grabbed me. Instantly, I held my breath because my thought was now he's going to dive down and release me at some point in time much deeper in the ocean. And then the next moment, I kind of felt that the whale was turning either way and that the pressure was released. And then I was washed out of the mouth and was kind of coming back up onto the surface where surely I wasn't looking too clever. Once I got to the boat, I just looked at Heinz and I said, "Did you get it?" And he said, yes, he got it. And then I knew this was a very special event and a special moment. I don't think I had a whale of a time. I now have the inside knowledge of a whale, which nobody else has.
You go to hell.
How dare you? Didn't have a whale of a time. He was in the mouth of a whale.
By the way,
though.
Did you get it on did you get pictures? Okay, then it was a thing.
No, right. It was a thing without pictures.
You were in a whale's mouth.
Yes, exactly. And finally, Kevin, you will appreciate this so much. Have they unveiled the David Beckham statue?
They have, and I've seen this, and it's awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah. So his good friend James Corden decided he was going to play a trick on Bex. And what he did was he had a terrible statue made, kind of like the Ronaldo statue that everybody made fun of, right? With a big, big chin and a huge ass. All the stuff that he knew David Beckham would hate. And he offered him up an opportunity to come down and see the statue before it was rolled out onto the stadium so that everybody else could be there officially unveiling it. And it's horrible. And he's trying really hard to be nice, but he knows the statue is terrible. And in this clip on the James Corden show, he's talking to the guy who allegedly is the guy who carved the statue about how it can be fixed.
We had the conversation, and I believe that what I did here is I've tried to capture you in motion.
Look at my chin.
Maybe this other angle.
You know what? The only thing that's good is the hair, and that's about it.
You do have great hair, I gotta tell you.
I know, but look at my bum. Look at my ass.
Yeah, again, I'm telling you, that's in motion, that's how it looks.
It definitely doesn't look like that.
Well, let me ask you, what do you like?
How can you change it in this short amount of time?
I mean, we can't change it. I'm not saying I'm going to change it. I'm just saying what do you like?
There's no way that can go at the front of the stadium. There's no way. My parents are coming over. But look how long my arms are. I honestly look like Stretch Armstrong. It's lucky my kids are not coming over, because if my kids were to see this, I think they'd just cry.
So shortly after that, James Corden comes around the corner and Beckham realizes he's been had, and it's very, very funny, his reaction. That statue, by the way.
It is.
Amazing, right? You can check out all these videos and so much more right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Guys, Ellie's making less sense than before I left.
No.
Yeah, we're losing her, for sure. Let's see if we can get one more what's happening out of you before you lay down and die.
Did you guys see the new poster for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I did.
Quentin Tarantino movie?
It looks like Starsky and Hutch.
It's essentially just Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt in front of a car.
In a 70s kind of look.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you need?
People are losing their minds over it.
Good or bad?
Bad.
Really?
Oh, I was not aware that there were these movie poster people that get all up in arms about stuff. But
really?
Yeah. Despite the enthusiasm many fans on social media have for the movie, people think that they were heavily retouched. One person said, remember when a real artist would paint real works of art for posters? Sigh. I mean, I'm still excited for this movie, but the poster's lame as F. Another, Brad Pitt looks photoshopped. Photoshopped for sure. Another said, Pitt's face looks like it's pasted on Matthew McConaughey's body. Then Quentin Tarantino shared it on Instagram, and people, mad there. This is a S of a poster. This is my favorite one, which I don't know what this guy's talking about, but can't wait. I was in Hollywood when this was being filmed. Too cool. Not a great poster, though. So you were in town at one point.
Who are these poster enthusiasts?
Who are you all? But last summer, Page Six had noticed that Sony had accidentally uploaded an image file of them showing all the edits made to the original shot. And I guess a ton of wrinkles taken out of Brad Pitt's chin, and DiCaprio's chin was tightened up.
Is it everything Photoshop?
Everything
is. For God's sakes.
Not to play devil's advocate, but have you seen the poster? And Brad Pitt does look a little weird.
He doesn't look like him. It looks like he's put on someone's body.
A little bit. It does look strange.
Wax figure strange?
A little bit, yeah. I just think he's heavily touched in this photo, and a lot of people probably be like, please don't do that. There's no need.
Because he's Brad Pitt.
Yeah. But yeah. He does look kind of odd.
I literally glanced at the photo and then looked away and was like, oh, there's a poster.
Right.
And that was the end of my day.
I think that's what 99% of the people did.
What it should be, yeah.
Yeah. But the company insisted DiCaprio and Pitt didn't request the touch-ups.
No.
So.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
I mean, that seems aggressive.
This movie, though. First of all, Quentin Tarantino is a genius.
Right. Yes.
Second of all, Brad Pitt.
Right.
Third of all, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Margot Robbie, Timothy Olyphant, Dakota Fanning, Al Pacino, Tim Roth, Emile Hirsch, Kurt Russell. I mean, James Marsden. The list goes on and on and on.
The late Luke Perry.
The late Luke Perry is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The very alive Lena Dunham is in the movie, strangely.
Yeah.
I mean, but you were on a roll there.
Right?
But you had some momentum going right there until the end.
Did you say Bruce Dern?
I did not say Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern's in it.
Rumor Willis. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait. Can we finish listing the cast now, or are we...
No,
I just think
it's pretty impressive.
I do too.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Any idea who the grip was? Or do we have that?
I don't have that.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Sorry.
Next update.
The grip is Michael Thomas Cox.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And Eddie Apodaca. That's it. Eddie Apodaca. Congrats to both those guys.
Excellent. Thank you. You guys, the creator of Jelly Belly is starting a line of jelly beans with the marijuana extract cannabis oil.
Huh?
It's CBD.
CBD
oil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is adding CBD oil to a line of his candies after learning about all of the health benefits of the oil extract.
This is great.
The company, Spectrum Confections, sells CBD oil in a bulk, which is original, sugar-free, or sour flavors. 38 new flavors, including toasted marshmallow, mango, pina colada. What the owner said was the jelly bean is perfect for the proper dosage of CBD. We're putting 10, would it be milliliters in each?
We don't know. You're telling the story.
ML, is that a milliliter?
I'm too high to know.
Okay,
yeah.
10 milliliters in each. If people want a small dose, they eat one. Then if they want 20 milliliters, they can eat two, and so on and so forth.
I have gummy bears.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to beat the gummy bears, because the gummy bears are pretty sweet.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you taste any difference, or do they just taste like gummy bears?
Just like gummy bears.
That won't backfire with kids at all.
I was speaking with a friend of mine yesterday who is opening his own CBD shop.
A friend of mine. Now we know why he's moving.
Picayune, Mississippi. And he just had a conversation with David Klein, the man who runs the Jelly Bellies company. Just had a conversation with him, put in a huge order for these Jelly Bellies. He cannot wait to sell them. He thinks they're going to be enormously popular and successful.
Look at that. An update to the story.
Who knew?
From a personal friend.
A guy that knew a guy.
That's
a guy that
amazing.
Knew a guy.
It's amazing.
He called the Jelly Belly company about inquiring about these new CBD Jelly Bellies, and the owner creator answered the phone himself.
David Klein? He spoke to David Klein?
He did.
That guy needs to get a receptionist.
He really
something.
Does.
That's a lot of work.
He's too high.
His receptionist
I don't know he needs one.
40
get high off
Jelly
CBD.
Bellies.
He didn't even know he was on the phone. He thought he was talking into a shoe.
Isn't CBD? It just relaxes you. It's a lot of people use it that have anxiety. A lot of people use it. A lot of pets use it.
Yes.
What? Pets
we use it for lightness.
Use it.
Yeah.
But there's no THC in it.
Yeah,
right.
You, don't so
you don't get high.
It's just, yeah.
I've tried.
Kevin just,
I mean, Kevin
just
smoking gummy bears trying to get anything out of it.
He's mainlining the gummy bears. Good Lord, you guys. Hey, Kevin, while you were out,
yes.
Mama June.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she
died?
Was almost worse.
Oh, almost worse.
I don't know.
How could it be worse?
Not sure.
Let's just say she's eating a lot of Jelly Bellies.
So she was arrested last week following a domestic dispute with her boyfriend. And she was hit with a felony for possession of a controlled substance and a misdemeanor for possession of drug paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
That controlled substance, crack cocaine.
Could be a crackhead.
That paraphernalia.
Wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Was a pipe with crack cocaine residue. She is facing up to a year in jail on the felony drug case. A date for her arraignment has not been set. But the boyfriend that was also arrested for a domestic assault as well as this.
And he's blind, right?
Oh, they, I assume?
He's quite the criminal history.
They were both arrested for that?
Yeah. Oh. Arrests for theft, burglary, criminal damage to property. They've been dating for 3 years.
So. Oh, my. That's
yeah.
the crime.
Yeah.
Jesus.
3 years.
He went
out
with her a second time. Don't they remember Wings' advice?
Stop smoking crack.
I mean, short and sweet. Very, yeah.
It's a good tip.
Absolutely. So you missed a lot, basically, when you were in Spain. The world continued to turn out here in Hollywood, and I will bring you up to date on all of that.
Man, I didn't care.
I don't either, let's be honest. Some birthdays for you. Clayton Kershaw, Bruce Willis, and Glenn Close. And that's what's happening.
All right, coming up next is It Racist?
How'd that go? Were you trying to have a reverb?
I was, but I forgot to tell Jim
you
to
let
turn
me know.
It Is It Racist?
Welcome back, Kevin.
All right,
it was quite a delivery. I thought
it really was.
This is our second installment of our new feature called "Is It Racist?" And in this particular case, we are looking for African American listeners. Okay, brothers and sisters only. Call us right now. 1-800.
I think we know the answer now.
Come on,
now.
0-1-0. The blacks. We're looking for the blacks.
Oh,
bean. 1-800-520-1067. If you're an African American listener, we need your help to help us decide. Is it racist? You got to turn it up for me now. Is it racist? That's the voice many of our newer listeners will not recognize. His name is Kevin Ryder. He is new to the show, and we're delighted to welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show. You almost died on holiday?
I mean, it's possible. I'm not going to... Here's what I'll say, and then okay. I'll tell you about it next.
Okay.
I was not just considering maybe I'm going to die, 100% knowing I was going to die.
Wow.
Oh.
100%.
Like me on the train tracks in Norway that time.
Sort of, yes.
Where I was counting the seconds until that thing hit me. All right.
He was in a train, like tunnel on a bicycle or something,
yeah.
And train
was
coming the opposite way, and there was just enough space for him.
Oh, yeah, I was very close. I was convinced I was dead.
Did you, like, suck in your stomach? And
oh, yeah.
That's like what a cartoon.
Yeah.
All right, so Kevin will tell his story coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, welcome to Is It Racist?
Can you help me out? Because I have no clue. Is it racist? I don't know. Come on and let me know. Let's all find out on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is it racist? Is it racist? Is it racist? Come on and let us know.
That's a peppy little song for Is It Racist?
Yeah. I asked Noah if he could do a hip-hop version, and he said, no, that would be racist. So we're learning as we go. Look, we're a bunch of white guys and gals, so we're not the ones to decide. That's why we invited you, the African-American listeners of the Kevin Bean Show, to call in. All the phones are busy, so here's the story, and then we'll go to you, and you can tell us what you think. Gayle King actually stirred up this controversy on her Instagram.
Okay.
She put up a photograph of O Magazine, which, as you know, is Oprah's magazine, of their creative director named Adam Glassman. Now, in the photo, he is wearing a sweatshirt. He's a white guy. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a sweatshirt that says, "Black don't crack." Okay?
Okay.
We've all heard that expression because African-American people are so lucky that you can't tell if they're 30 or 70 because somehow...
Yeah, white people are incredibly jealous of that.
We get very wrinkly and very saggy, but black people look fantastic as an older person, right? So he's a white guy wearing a black don't crack shirt. Now, again, he's working for Oprah. He's working at O Magazine, which is a predominantly African-American work environment, but he is a white guy and he is wearing it. So Gail King says she loves the sweatshirt, but she asked her followers to weigh in on whether it was racist or not. Can he pull it off? Should he be allowed to wear that sweatshirt? And there were thousands of comments. Lots of different opinions. Some were in favor of the choice, saying he can wear it even though it doesn't apply to him. Others were saying he can wear it as long as he can explain it, which, by the way, seems like a very dangerous area. It's like Dave with his NWA shirt.
Yeah.
He couldn't exactly stop everybody that saw him and say, no, I love the band. It's not racist. I love the band. So grass is green, water is wet, the Pope is Catholic, and black don't crack, one follower said, with the hashtag the facts of life. So opinions all over the place. I don't know what to think about this. It seems to me like it could definitely be problematic, him showing up at work like that, like he's sort of pretending to be one of his black fellow employees, and he clearly isn't. So we thought we'd take it to the listeners. Let them help us know, is it racist?
Is it racist?
All right, let's start with Larry. He was first in on line one, Woodland Hills. Larry, thank you so much for listening to Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today, my friend?
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, we're glad you called. You heard the story. He's a white employee working for Oprah's magazine wearing a sweatshirt that says black don't crack. Are you comfortable with that or no?
Well, is there a little fine print on the bottom of that statement that says facts?
That says what, facts? Hello?
I don't know what happened.
Larry?
All right, so that doesn't count one way or the other.
Larry died. That's
no
very
vote
sad.
There. We lost Larry.
No vote.
Or Oprah took him out. I don't know. How about Brian Longbeach up next? Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
You heard
Love
the story.
You,
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. You heard the story. What do you think? Black don't crack. Okay for a white dude to wear or not?
I think it's cool for a white dude to wear that. But I think it also would have to be in certain situations. Like, I wouldn't wear it to work just in case he would offend somebody. That's a whole different era.
Right, but he was at Oprah, so...
Yeah, he works in a predominantly African-American environment. We assume that he is friends and friendly with all the people that he works with. I mean, he has a pretty senior position in the magazine. Does that make a difference to you?
No, it doesn't, because it's still a workplace. I mean, certain things you wouldn't wear. You wouldn't wear an NWA t-shirt to work.
All right, so yes or no? Are you saying yes? It's racist?
I'm saying yes outside of a work environment where you wouldn't have to deal with the question that you're asking right now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. So we're going to put him down for a yes for racist at work.
But I mean, environment, yeah.
Very good, Brian. Thank you. Javier up next. He is on line three. Now, are we accepting Javier as a black man?
Nope.
That's racist.
That
right
is racist.
There.
Yeah, that's racist.
Javier, what's your last name? Martinez?
it's Leon, actually.
Ah, okay.
Oh, okay. So you're all right. I won't even delve into it any deeper.
I'm half black, but you know, I look more black than I do Hispanic.
Oh, we'll accept it. Oh, yeah, we'll take it.
Okay. All right. You can be an honorary African American, even though you're black. All right. Black don't crack. What say you, sir?
Sounds good. You know, it depends on the context. Just like Brian was saying, I think before, I think it depends on where in the setting where you're wearing it. If it's a bunch of like white people, you kind of got to question and be like, what kind of crack are they talking about?
Right. Yeah, but he works at Oprah magazine.
Yeah, I think in that case, I'd say no, because it's
not
somebody
racist.
Who I would assume is conscious and has, you know, a good understanding of where he is. And I'm not going to take anything wrong with that. In that scenario, but I'd give a no.
All right.
Okay, you say no. All right, thank you for the call.
One yes, one no.
Let's do one more. Let's make it the tiebreaker, and let's make it a lady. This is going to be Erica Sherman Oaks up next. Erica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Popo's out.
Popo's out of you. You get the final vote.
Yeah, it is. Racist has a negative or positive connotation. I believe
it does?
In a positive, yes, it can.
How can it be positive? It can be positive racist? Because you say Asians are good at math. That's a positive thing that you're saying, but it's a racist thing to say. I think that's what Erica said.
The perfect example. It is racist. Like the gentleman was saying at the top of the conversation, he was asking about the portion at the bottom. Does it say facts? It's a fact that black don't crack. And the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
So, that too. That's what a shirt should have said.
That being the case, while it might, it's kind of like stereotypes, only racist has a more negative connotation. So if you're taking a negative connotation, it's negative. But it is also the truth in as much as it is a true statement.
All right, I'm trying to figure out whether you're voting yes or no.
It is a vote of no, because I'm going to go with the positive. Yes. It is not racist.
Not racist. Okay. All right. Well, I'm ordering mine right now.
No,
you're not.
As a Jew, I'm good with numbers. So I'm going to say it's not racist.
Not racist.
Yeah.
All right, Erica, thanks so much for listening. This has been Is It Racist?
Is it racist?
RJ Bell joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show to tell us how to make money on the NCAA tournament. Does that mean we're going to have to bet on Duke? Is that the only way to make money on the show?
You make very little. You can barely make money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you put in $1,200 to make $100 for real.
Right.
That's like
exactly.
Right.
You bet the long shots.
He'll have some tips for us. Go Anteaters. I think that's where we're coming from, right, is Go Anteaters.
Yeah.
Only two colleges, Kevin. I don't know if you, how much you followed the bracket when you were out of the country, but only two colleges in the entire state of California are in the tournament this year. And wow. One of them is UC Irvine's Anteaters. The other is St. Mary's. So we'll talk to RJ Bell next hour. First, though, you almost died on vacation?
Well, I was lucky enough to go to Spain, which has just been a lifelong dream for me. And I got to go, and I'd like to tell you four one-sentence stories and then get to the real one. One was I got to a nightclub at 1:30 a.m. and they said I was an hour early.
Yeah, that's insane.
Two is I met seven people from Southern California, and we went on a pub crawl. All night.
Fun.
It was so fun. We ended up at a place called the Monkey Bar, Bean.
That was your home.
Three is that I went to dinner and forgot my credit card, had to leave my phone with them, go back to the hotel and get my credit card, come back, pay, and get my phone back.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag KevDog.
Four is I was attacked by birds.
I'm sorry?
You know when you go to these public places and birds are used to being fed by tourists?
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I kicked at a bird, and it just, like, sidestepped, just like, whatever. It didn't care at all. And then there were 2, 3, 4, 7, 14 birds, and I literally, like a baby, got up and ran.
Did you have any food with you?
No!
Do you think they were responding to the kick?
I don't know. But it was a concerted effort for all of them to just take me down.
So how much do you want to bet?
I wish I would have had video of me standing up and running. That would have been the funniest thing.
Were you eating a sandwich?
I was not.
Okay.
Were they ravens or crows?
I don't know.
Aren't they usually pigeons?
Yeah, like, they were pigeons. Yeah, they were pigeons.
Okay. Because ravens and crows, I mean, they're known for being dicks. I just wondered. Okay, so you're saying pigeons.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, so now my real story. I got a scooter.
Oh, no.
Because everybody drives a scooter in Barcelona. What do you mean, no?
You guys don't have a good history with scooters.
Well, Bean doesn't. Mine's great.
Oh, go on.
So I'm talking to my daughter, and she says, this is a terrible idea. And I said, don't tell anyone else in the family. I'm doing it, and I don't want to hear it. And if anybody else talks to me about it, I know it's you. So I went, and they had 250cc, 125cc, and I was like, I'll take the 125. I don't really need 250. I'd probably kill myself on that. And they went, oh, we only have 50cc. It's kind of like a mini bike.
Yeah, it's like a Mario Kart.
Yeah, sort of. It goes like 50 if you're going, like at full speed. So I went to this tourist location, took some great pictures, and I thought to myself, okay, it's 13 minutes back to my hotel. I want to leave because I don't want to be driving in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get home in plenty of time before the sun goes down. Now, it doesn't have a GPS on it.
Oh, God.
So I keep the GPS on my phone, and I turn it up as loud as I can, but it's in my shorts or in my jeans. So I can't. I hear every once in a while. I hear left. 200 feet. I have no idea what's going on. At one point, I pulled over, and by the way, now it's dark.
Yes.
I pulled over, and I was further away from my hotel than when I started. Mm. Also, in Barcelona, they have signs for streets, but they're little placards that are on the building on the corner.
Hard to spot.
Impossible. Yeah.
In the dark, especially.
Yes, especially in the dark. So I'm trying my best to get there. I've been going like for 45 minutes. I'm tired. I get to a roundabout. And I get into the roundabout, and I turn, and I go, oops, just missed my turn. So I thought, I'll just keep going around.
Sure. Look, right. Sure. Look, it's Big Ben, European vacation. Yeah.
So as I start turning around, I feel something hit my whole left side, my left handlebar, my left shoulder, and my left elbow.
It was those pigeons.
No.
And I turned to my left, and it was a giant bus. A bus. Now, I wouldn't say I got hit by it, but I got
Swiped.
Swiped, yeah. I mean, it didn't knock me down immediately, but I thought in that 1 second, I hope my kids know I love them. Peace out. Like, it wasn't a question of whether I was going to die. It was just, this is it. This is how I go. So that there was a car to my right. I couldn't get over. So,
oh, my gosh.
You were being sandwiched.
Yeah, I was being sandwiched. Yeah, and this bus didn't care because it's a bus, and I'm a scooter. A 50cc, right. no less. Like, you're going, this guy's riding a mini bike. He deserves to go. Mm. So hits me. I sort of lean over, hit the brake, and at this part, I completely black out.
Right.
I don't know what happened. Somehow I think I hit my brake enough that the car in the lane next to me went in front of me.
Uh-huh.
But about 30 seconds later, I would say, I had gotten off the street and I was in a cafe and I was sweating and I threw up.
Whoa.
Because of the brush with death.
Because I knew I was going to die. I just got hit by a bus on a scooter. So somehow, in the blackout time, I had gotten over lane. It was six lanes around. And I had gotten all the way over and pulled off because I was really scared and threw up. Jeez. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I just told my daughter I was going to get a scooter. She said it's a terrible idea. I said, don't tell anyone else that. I will be careful.
You had like an out-of-body experience.
Yes, very much so.
And you have no memory of that 30 seconds of you extricating yourself from that traffic
storm. Quote-unquote surviving.
I don't. I mean, I feel like it was probably 75% luck. 80% luck.
Oh, my gosh.
Just I happened to avoid because there were so many cars. So I got over there for like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at the cafe, and I was just thinking, what do I do?
Yeah.
You were kind of afraid to get back on the scooter.
I was scared out of my mind.
It's still dark, obviously.
Still dark.
Are way far away from your hotel. You don't know how to get there.
So I looked at the direction finder again, and I got on my scooter, and I drove back to the hotel.
Slowly,
oh
I'm
gosh.
Sure.
Yeah, slowly in the right lane. And I will tell you this, that it was 13 minutes from where I was to my hotel, and it took 1 hour and 19 minutes to get back.
Oh, Kevin.
A woman in a walker passed you. Twice. Look at that guy.
Oh, no, I toured around the whole city many, many different times. Like, I would go past a fountain and go, been here before.
Wow.
Not sure what I'm doing. But I got back on it, and I went back to my hotel, and I was like, all right. That was my brush with death. So I'm all good now.
So you getting a scooter?
Absolutely. So I rode it the rest of the vacation. No problems whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't think I'd get back on.
That's so fun.
Hey, just want to remind you again that the Black Keys are back. They've got that awesome new song that we've been playing, and they've got upcoming dates, including the Forum November 9th. The Forum November 19th will be giving away those tickets at 9 a.m. this morning and qualify for you to see them at Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas. Kevin, is that one of the festivals you go to?
Yes, it's fantastic.
Life is Beautiful, including three-night hotel stay, round-trip, airfare, and more. Go to KROQ.com for another chance to win. So, Jensen.
Yeah, we bought a house recently, my wife and I, Danielle, and we find ourselves doing a lot of, upgrades in the house and sort of, going to Home Depot a lot. And
yeah, welcome to home maintenance.
That's right. And one of the things that we've realized is after it rains on our patio, it leaves a bit of a dirt oil patch.
Sure.
Residue, sure.
Yeah, not easy to get off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we decided to go to Home Depot and get a pressure washer.
Oh, those are the best.
Which are awesome. They're so cool.
Like those are those wands that are extra strong?
Yeah, and like you know, you attach your hose to it, and then you kind of just walk around, and a lot of water sort of pushes it off and into the drain.
Uh-huh.
It's a great item.
Sure.
We went and got one, and we were going to, you know, this weekend work together to fix this rain damage.
Mm-hmm. How pregnant is your wife?
That is important to deal with.
Because I'm wondering why she's not on the couch watching TV eating potato chips while her husband is out power washing the front.
She should be on a recliner in the front yard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number one.
Why is she involved in this at all?
Number one, she's a badass. Two, she enjoys doing things like this. Mm-hmm. But also, I need the motivation in order to work as a team. So power washer. So we realized as we're getting ready that there is no plug outlet near our pool.
Okay.
Which is safe. Probably the right thing.
Okay.
That may be the whitest thing you've ever said, Bob.
Right. Well, I haven't been on the show long enough then. And so we use an extension cord that's about 50 feet.
Okay.
So we are going to plug in the extension cord in the house.
Oh, my God.
And then plug it into the power, you know, the power washer.
Right.
So Danielle goes, I'll go plug it in. I'll be right back. I go, great. So I'm still putting together the power washer. And I look up. She goes, everything's good. The extension cord is from the house across the pool.
Oh, no. In the water?
What?
Submerged in the water.
Oh, no.
Submerged.
She's trying to kill you.
I would say that it's submerged.
It's her.
Oh, I thought she
We'll get into that.
Okay.
It's submerged about 2 feet. Into the pool.
Okay.
Now, dumb question.
Yes.
If the extension cord is in perfect shape, there's no way water gets into it, right?
So now these are all questions, and this is why I'm bringing it up on air.
Okay.
So now I just need to set the scene a little bit more.
Okay.
So now it is across, and now we have plugged into the power washer. Mm-hmm. So no outlets or ends of the plugs are touching any water. The only thing is that the middle of the outdoor extension cord is completely submerged in a pool.
Right.
My reaction, she says, completely genuine, was, oh, God. You know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Right.
She's like, what's wrong? This is her explanation as to why I recorded her last night. This is the reason she says she was fine with it.
Because the plugs, the actual plug part, was not going to be underwater. One plug was inside the house. The other plug was 10 feet away from the water. The part that was under the water is completely wrapped in whatever extension cord material is wrapped in, and it was an outdoor extension cord. The only difference between indoor extension cord and outdoor extension cord is that one is subjected to outdoor elements, aka water.
Okay. So we get into a thing, not an argument at all, but me Googling as fast as I humanly can.
Oh, my gosh, she's still pressure washing.
My wife is 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And she and I'm sitting there being like, I don't want to touch the power washer.
And she's doing the wand thing?
Well, we're trying to figure out who's going to do it.
Okay.
So I'm saying I won't do it.
Who can we afford to lose more in this family to an electric and water accident?
I'm saying there's no way I'm going to touch it.
But you can't send your wife an unborn child out there to potentially be electrocuted. You have to do it.
So I say, I'm going to go buy a longer extension cord because there is a plug in the front of the house. If we get 100 feet, it'll work out. And she goes, we don't have the time. It's going to get dark. And I'm now my whole body is sweating. I can't breathe. I'm freaking out because, number one, I'm thinking she's going to make me do it. And I'm going to die in front
of
my...
You should do it.
Well, she did it.
She did.
Oh,
there's no chance she should do it.
Ever.
I wouldn't do it. I thought I was.
Oh, what a baby.
And so she picked up the thing and we all just stared at each other and she turned on the power and everything was fine. And she used the pressure, you know, the power washer.
Right.
And then she unplugged it. Now, my question, because we have a lot of people who work in electricians and
is it racist?
Contractors.
Oh, no, that's not it.
It's not safe, right? Because there would just have to be one cut.
If there's a cut, it's not safe.
You die immediately. But what kind of bet is that? We should never be making that bet.
And was it like a grounded extension cord with the three prongs? Or were you just putting like wimpy little indoor extension cords
Well, before we plugged it in, it was sparking a lot. No, no. I'm kidding.
My question is, what's the downside? If the downside is death, then maybe don't do that.
Yeah, well, don't try it.
It was grounded. It had a little protective, cover over the outlet side of the plugs as well. But there's no way I should have allowed my pregnant wife to do that, right?
And even worse, he's telling the story to a couple of us yesterday, and I said, you have to talk her out of it. And his response, I tried for like a minute.
What?
I'm like, what?
I said, for the record, I said minutes.
Okay.
Jensen,
okay.
Do you know how much less funny this segment would have been had she been electrocuted? Honestly.
Wow.
You would have still come in.
Great
point,
Bean.
You would have still told the story, but I'm telling you, that would have been a terrible ending. I don't make those kind of guesses anymore.
I have to start thinking for three, right?
I mean, yes. It's not. Don't guess when it comes to being electrocuted.
Yeah, you need to bubble wrap your wife.
I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. And I'm disappointed.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Bean Show.
Keep back, baby.
At 7:53.
Did you start talking with the mic off again?
Yeah. No, it was up, but it was just not up loud enough. It was like down here like this.
Oh, jeez.
So that happened.
Allie, are we doing it wrong that neither of us have come close to death in the last week? Like Jensen has and Kevin has?
I'm a little terrified that maybe ours is going to like sneak up on us. They both kind of had ideas that they might die.
I just want to let you know, Dylan from the 626, he works for Tesla Energy, says it's completely safe.
All right.
Several layers of insulation that would have had to be broken in order for there to be a problem. But then 714, I'm an electrician. He's fine with no holes in the cord, which doesn't necessarily save my...
No.
I love the fact that Jensen didn't do it.
No, Danielle, he was too busy Googling if he died.
Yeah, I've seen too many Final Destination movies to do that.
That's the most astonishing part of that whole
thing. And if that's the truth, then you do it, not her.
I didn't want to. I don't know.
All right. Coming up just after 8, we've never done this before, but somebody had the bright idea that we should invite you to call in with your favorite sound bites.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
Like that one. If you like that one. We will discuss and take your calls on it. Apparently, this is a very hot topic among fans of the Kevin and Bean Show.
As a fan myself, this is a dream call-in topic.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a request line.
We don't understand this.
Oh, no.
Your drops
are the greatest.
They're the best.
Honestly, I don't get this.
This is unacceptable.
So we'll discuss that coming up right after 8. Before that though, Allie's got what's happening here on a Tuesday morning.
You guys hear about Mike Trout?
Did I?
Does he not want to win a World Series?
Nah, man, he wants to make that money.
He's a baseball player. He could have gotten plenty of money and played for a team that's going to win the World Series.
Well, no, man. The Angels are switching managers. Who knows what kind of moves they're going to be making in the next few years?
Okay. He's not making any moves because he reportedly is signing a 12-year deal with the Angels for $430 million.
Yay!
12-year deal for $430 million. That's about $36 million a year. Jensen, you had a little stat of what it is for at bat.
Yeah, this is from Darren Rovell on Twitter. $66,978 per Mike Trout at bat.
Wow.
Okay, now compare that.
Strikeout or nothing.
Doesn't matter.
$66,000.
Just at a bat. Now compare that to the median U.S. household annual earnings of $61,372. He will make per at bat more than the average U.S. household.
Wow. I would argue that the Angels know he's worth it. Maybe they get it
he's
back
the
in
the best player in baseball.
Maybe they get it back in memorabilia.
There's an argument that he's the best player in baseball history.
He's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people think that.
And he's only 27.
So I'm saying maybe he's worth it just from the income that he brings to the Angels.
And he's such a personality plus guy.
Oh,
man.
No, he's funny.
No, he's so not, much endorsements.
Not right? really that guy.
Tells a great story, that guy, Mike Trout.
Guys, that's an insane amount of money.
He's making about $150 million per word I've heard him say.
Unbelievable, you guys.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A lot of money.
I mean, it was just a week ago that we were oohing and aahing over the Bryce Harper contract, which now looks puny.
I know. How sad. Bryce Harper's
that was
like,
only
$330
million.
I got $330. His is 30% more. Check my math. But just saying. That's crazy. It's just nuts. Anywho, did you guys watch the Black Mirror Bandersnatch on Netflix?
I did.
Interactive thing on
Six
Netflix.
6 hours later, I turned it off.
Okay. Well, Netflix announced yesterday that they're launching a new interactive family show. It's You Versus Wild, which is going to debut on April 10th. It's an 8-episode show starring survival expert Bear Grylls. Viewers will be able to show Grylls on expeditions around the world and then have chances to choose the course of the story in each episode.
So then the, whatever most people vote for, he has to do?
Whatever you vote for, yeah.
Oh, that's what I see. Not
he'll
everyone.
Film all the eventualities. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Although I do like the idea of live telling people what to
right.
do. Like, yeah, like Ed TV.
Oh, that would be
all
incredible.
Right. Sorry to say, America voted you. Jump off that cliff.
You don't think it'll come to that?
You have to swim through the river of alligators.
You have to let your wife use a cord in a swimming pool.
No one would choose that.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's insane. Jensen.
I was disappointed in Bandersnatch, by the way.
Me too.
Were you?
Did not love it.
Yeah, I didn't love it either.
All right.
It's got a nice technology possibility, but that wasn't it. Yeah,
it wasn't executed quite the way you'd want it
to
be. All right. Jensen, you're getting a lot of unsolicited advice, you and Danielle, now that she is with child.
No, people give that sort of like, you know, it would be cool. You know, they give like a soft suggestion.
Right.
But no one is just a jerk about it now.
No one's saying, get all your sleep in now.
Well, people do say that.
Of course. Well, it's obviously no secret. Parents don't get a lot of sleep in that first year of the baby's life. But it seems the struggle for sleep goes on a lot longer than that. Researchers found that both parental sleep satisfaction and sleep duration sharply declined after childbirth, hitting their lowest point when a baby is 3 months of age.
Why are you staring at me through this whole pit story? What are
but
you doing?
Here's the upside, dudes. Women's sleep duration and quality were far more affected than men, and it depended on also whether they breastfed their baby or not. Women lost an average of 1 hour of sleep nightly compared to what they had prior to pregnancy, while men lost about 15 minutes.
It's about right, actually. That makes sense.
But even after 4 to 6 years after childbirth, mothers were still getting 20 minutes less sleep per night than before they became pregnant. So the whole thing is, you don't ever sleep the way you used to. And then in the teen years, you're not sleeping because you're worried about them. And then, I mean, if you're my mom, she's still worried. She's like, hey, send us an email when you get home. Like, really?
My mom wants me to text when I land in a plane.
I call my parents as soon as we land.
I'm 40, man.
Really? I do it. As soon as we land, I call. That's and my dad always says the same thing. Oh, we knew. We got the flight tracker up.
Then don't text or call.
He doesn't know. Something we could have spun around. It wasn't updated. Listen, my parents love me. I'm sorry you guys had to hear that.
And by
it's
the
upsetting.
Way, don't fool yourself. Your mom is tired for other reasons too, right? Let's never forget.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Glenn Close, Bruce Willis, Clayton Kershaw, and
J.J. Watt, who has all the personality that Mike Trout doesn't have and is a tremendous athlete with the Houston Texans, said, hey, Mike Trout and I kind of look alike, so how do you feel about 12 years, $430 million fully guaranteed for me too, he just tweeted. I mean, every athlete in the world today is waking up and going, hey!
How about this? Mike Trout's new contract, just this new contract,
mm-hmm. okay.
is worth more than Shaquille O'Neal made in basketball for his entire career.
Wow.
Seems crazy.
But that doesn't include the Shaq Fu money, though, right?
Oh, no. That was billions.
It's not being ridiculous.
That was separate.
And also the general deal, because that's worth, as you know, $6 billion. Yeah.
All right. This conversation came up. How did it come up while Kevin was on vacation, Jensen? How do we even get to talk about sound bites?
I think that Ali and I have been pitching this idea for a bit.
Yeah, and nobody will listen to us. And I'm telling you, people love your sound bites so much that to have like an instant request of playing it, that's a dream.
What was that?
Yeah, I think we got a tweet or something with an instant request for a soundbite, and we started talking about it. And I was like, nobody really cares. And then Dave put up something on at Kevin and Bean on our Twitter account yesterday asking what your favorite soundbite was.
Mm-hmm.
And the response was by the hundreds.
Yeah.
People weighed in with what they love to hear, which is so weird to me.
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
I mean, look, I love soundbites too. I mean, I lay them down every single day and cut them up every single day and play them every single morning.
Bean's a genius when it comes
to
them. Well, I enjoy them. I mean, I think they're fun, and I think they make. I think they add to the production value of the show. But I can't for a million years imagine having a favorite and calling up and saying, hey, I want to hear that. But that's what we're asking you to do right now. If you've got a favorite Kevin Amin soundbite, something you've heard us play here on the show, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067, and it'll be an instant request. We'll play it for you. All right, here's some of the responses that we got immediately after Dave put up my favorite Kevin Amin soundbite is, and then fill in the blank. I am on Lemonade, I guess is essentially how you'd pronounce it, on Twitter, asked for this one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Well, that's great. We all love that one.
we certainly do. This is Mark Awokeness, who writes in and says, my favorite is...
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
That could have been said so many different points in our career.
He says, Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying, especially knowing the context. And by the way, I would just like to say for the record, and nobody remembers this, it's just one of those Mandela effect things. It was Mark and Brian. You agree?
Yeah. Okay.
It was Mark and Brian who were on Unsolved Mysteries, and for some reason, just because we're two white guys, everybody thinks it was us.
One people said it was us, and it just snowballed, and now everybody thinks
one
it was
people. I mean, one people. And they were the American Indians. Eva Famoon writes in. Her favorite Kevin Amin soundbite, here's one we haven't heard in a long time. Used to be very popular on the show.
Yeah, Eric.
Old-time Kevin Amin fans will remember Cucamonga Heat. Here is Brady writing in. Jensen, you're going to be very happy. This is fairly new to the repertoire, but here's Brady's favorite.
Oh, hello.
One of the best ever, in my opinion.
1-800-520-1067. If you have a favorite, we'll play it for you. Angel, also on the Kevin Amin Twitter account. Again, I wouldn't have thought of this, but here's the one that Angel every day is hoping ends up on the show.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
That's Rob Delaney, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep,
amazing.
It sure is.
Amazing.
All right, and one more from the tweet, and it is Jeremy. Allie, you're going to never... This is going to be on your tombstone, I think, when
wow.
you go.
Lady Gaga! Oh, sweet Jesus.
Only if we're in charge of her tombstone.
Oh. That's a beautiful sound, though, isn't it? A beautiful sound. All right, are we willing to give this a try?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, I can't believe we're doing this for the first time ever, 30 years in, but let's see who's up first.
Jesse and Walnut, good morning.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. Favorite soundbite?
Me and my girlfriend's favorite soundbite is the Jesus one.
Jesus.
Now, why is it you like that so much?
Because.
Jesus.
Because Jesus. All right. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate the call.
All right, let's go to Marcos in Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
My favorite is I love hot Cheetos.
Oh, when I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos.
I think that's one of my favorite, too.
Amen.
The best one.
I agree.
So cute.
Honestly, we could bump one Weezer song a morning. We do six of them anyway. We'll play all just drops over and over again.
Thank you for the call, Marcos. All right, let's go to Michael. Let's see. Who's calling
us from
El Segundo? Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday.
What do you like?
Get your head out of your ass.
All right, I have two. Let's see which one of them it is.
Also, when you get around to it, would you pull your head out of your ass?
All right, that's not it. How about this one?
Wake up and pull your head out of your ass!
Mm. Oh, that's not it either. All right, let me try this one.
Could you please get your head out of your ass? It's not a hat.
Okay. Kevin must be on your end.
I don't think we have that one.
Well, how do we not? He's calling with his favorite soundbite on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Michael, you do an impression of it.
All right, this one?
You have your head up your ass.
It's the one from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
How many different do you have your head up your asses, Clint, do you think we have?
The one from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
We just played three of them.
How do we have more?
Come on.
I think we're drawing a blank on that one.
I mean,
sorry,
we gave
Michael.
Them three tries,
we
for God's sakes. We're only human.
All right, hold on. Here's another one.
Do you have your head up your
That's the one you
have.
That's the one I just played, yeah. All right, let's move on to another caller.
All right, let's go to Ryan in Buena Park. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning. So what happened to the what happened clip? Did the FBI make you guys take it down?
What happened?
Now, was that Tiger Woods' mom?
It was Tiger Woods' mom.
What happened?
When he was on the news after the whole thing broke down with his wife smashing his car up with a golf club, that was her comment after she saw it on the news. She woke up that day and she was like,
"What happened?"
And since you also mentioned the FBI.
The FBI!
Which, as you know, is certainly one of my favorites of all time. I appreciate the call so much, Ryan.
All right, let's go to Scott in Long Beach. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Bean, good luck in your new adventure.
Thank you,
my
sir.
My favorite drop is Spicy Spicy Sausage.
Oh, Spicy Spicy. Hang on. That one's going back to the Catherwood days, right?
I imagine Bean in front of, like, a big Wurlitzer organ right now.
He's in an archive.
Just hitting buttons.
I had a Ebola up. I thought that's where we were going. I'm sorry.
Can go Ebola if you want.
Well, give him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a second. The man's a genius.
All right.
I'm not a genius. I'm definitely having trouble. I'm wondering if we even still have that because I think we kind of.
He's got a lab.
Well, I think it fell out of political correctness, I think was the problem.
And by that, the company made a stop.
Yes. I think Mike was.
It was still great.
I think Mike was doing a gay voice, if I remember correctly, and that might have been the problem. I think we may have had to bump it. But thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to Anthony in Compton. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, this is Ebola guy.
how are you known as Ebola guy? Because that's
Ebola,
your favorite drop?
That was the funniest thing. Oh, my God. I love you guys have been saying forever. Ebola, don't touch a friend. No touching. No
eating something dangerous. Ebola. Those were good times. We were all dying of Ebola, weren't they? All right, let's do one more before the break. Can we make it Alex? Line 6, please.
Right, Alex. Good morning.
Good morning, party people.
Favorite soundbite?
It's a recent one, and it's just the timing of it always gets me. It's the Hispanic-sounding guy that says, "Do we need all that?
do we need all of that?"
That guy was an eyewitness to a robbery in a convenience store. That came out of the news one day, but it has proven to be very helpful for us here on the show. Great choice, Alex. That's a 2019 drop, I think, isn't it? All right, what's your favorite soundbite? I can't believe we're doing this, but you're calling 1-800-520-1067. We'll try to play yours next on camera.
Just ahead of Weezer, let's take one phone call. We're talking about your favorite soundbites. Let's go to Laura in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Laura.
What's up, party people?
What's up?
Well, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and you always hope to hear what soundbite?
You know, it's seasonal, but my favorite soundbite is the background keyboards from Two Eyeballs.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
That gets in your head and lasts all year long, doesn't it, Laura?
All year long, all day long. Right now I've got it in my head. I'm singing it and I'm feeling it.
I mean, we edited that down from about 11 minutes. It just goes on and on.
That's a great choice. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Your favorite soundbite coming up next after The Weezer on K-Rock.
What sound? I didn't hear a sound.
We're so excited. We're doing breaks during the song where we're just playing bits.
Our favorites.
Here's the thing. We're talking about Kevin Bean's sound bites. A lot of people who listen to the show, thank you, by the way, for that. You care enough to have a favorite. We're hearing from all over. For instance, here's Acacia, who writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account. This is her favorite.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
All right. Here's Matt's
best.
Matt Steele's favorite.
Yay!
Sure.
Everybody loves the kid.
Sure.
Simba requested this one.
Will Glenda be there?
And speaking of our old friend Mike Catherwood, he weighed in as well. This is his favorite.
Murder.
Yes, the murder button. All right, so let's get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Who's up first?
Daniel in San Clemente. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Favorite sandwich?
One of my favorites is Chuck Henry when he was crying about the... You don't play it anymore.
This might be my favorite of all time.
Yes.
There was a fire, and the fire department told all of the media, get out. You have to get out. Yeah. Chuck Henry said, nope, I'm good. And then the fire just destroyed his van. Here's the longer version of him crying about it.
I feel so badly for the people that lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it started. It wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames. I saw Lee. He was outside.
and I couldn't see where to go. He just said, "Hey, Chuck, Chuck," and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
That's the best. Yeah, why don't you leave when you're told to leave, a-hole?
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the call. Let's go to line four. This is a deep cut from Julian calling from Los Angeles on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Julian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, it was during the Cycle Mike days, Man Cannon.
Remember George Takei? Here it is.
Man Cannon.
I mean, I don't. I suspect he uses that a lot in his real life, but it was a very funny clip. Thank you for that. Let's go to Dylan, line five up next, Long Beach weighing in.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How is everyone today?
We are good. Thank you. Favorite soundbite?
My favorite one has to be asshole.
Asshole. Dueling assholes.
That's your favorite?
It does come in handy very often. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Carrie weighing in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account. An old favorite.
This was a success.
I love it.
I mean, come on.
Oh.
Hey, Bean, look up line seven because we need that. All right, let's go to line seven. Let's go to Tracy in Manhattan Beach. Hi.
Yeah, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Too much information.
Oh, Victor Fuentes. Right.
Here's the thing about the great Victor Fuentes. We got so much response on Dave's poll yesterday about Victor Fuentes. Let me just give you a bunch of Victor because you can't have too much Victor.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, he's that guy. He's
too much information and shit, man.
He's a
couple.
Remember?
By the way, this is a guy who's calling 911 to get help.
Yeah.
Hell no. 16-12-1, no.
And one more.
Victor Fuentes.
Yeah, Victor.
Oh, love him.
Love him so much.
And we could never track him down, right? We tried hard. We just couldn't. All right, Kevin on line four. This is one of Kevin's favorites as well. San Gabriel weighing in on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Yeah, so Species Spicy Sausage was one of my favorites as well, but since that's not available, Anderson Cooper laughing.
This happened on the air.
Sorry.
Okay. That's one of my favorites,
That's
too.
Great.
All right. I think we probably only have time for one more, but I suspect we'll be revisiting this topic. Why don't we go to Susan? She's streaming us in Boston, Allie. 2 days in a row, we've had listeners from Boston.
Crazy.
Susan, good morning.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
What's up?
Great. All right. This is an old one, probably 15 plus years. The little kid going, fatty, 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 fatty.
Just look into your fat file, Bean.
Well, I got it. We used to have 1 million fat files, and then we stopped doing it.
I'm not going to lie when I tell you that it's going to be tough.
How sad Kevin sounded.
Because they're so great.
Hold on. Let's see if this is it.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
That's right. How about this one?
You've been called a vile, disgusting pig, a fat, lecherous loser.
I don't
Which would you prefer I called you?
Okay. How about...
Well, maybe I'm not... the norm. I'm not camera friendly. I don't wear clothes that fit me. I'm not a heartbreaker. I haven't had sex with a woman. I don't know how that works. I guess I don't fall in line. I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style. I have no charisma or self-esteem. I don't own a toothbrush or let my scabs heal. I can't reach all the parts
all right.
of my body.
Okay. Was that it, Susan?
No.
All right, let's...
That's not the one.
Okay. Let's hear some more.
Okay, let's see. Is it,
we have to find
I'm
it.
A huge tub of lard.
All right, that's probably not it.
Great. It's the fat one.
All right.
Shut up, fatty, fat pants.
Oh, that's close. Very close.
Is that
very
it,
close.
Susan?
Close.
No, very close.
No, okay.
That's not okay. So the bigger the cushion, the better the pushing, right, Charlie?
Well, I'm telling you, hey, you know, a lean dog just for shout raising, a fat dog just for show. The more healthy girls are showing up all right, but them skinny girls, I don't know.
I love that, dude.
Charlie, that's not it. Oh, I think I got it for you.
Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
There it is.
Is that it, Susan?
I think it's close.
We've missed this man. We've missed this face. We've missed this voice. We haven't talked to him since Super Bowl week. Hit it, Steve.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive.
Can't wait till it's over. For God's sakes, it was over in 3 seconds.
I talked to over the tail end of the music.
All right, just saying.
You've been on vacation too long.
I love that song. That's all I'm saying.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. When we last saw him, we actually had him in studio in person in Atlanta. RJ, that was so much fun having you come by the broadcast. How are you, my friend?
No doubt. I put a picture out. I had Kevin on one side, Bean on the other, me in the middle, and the caption said, two radio Hall of Famers and dot, dot, dot. So it was kind of one of those fill the caption in.
Well, you keep making our listeners money, and you'll be in a Hall of Fame as well. I was really surprised to see on your site this week that college basketball betting in the month of March is, now listen to this, kids, college basketball betting in the month of March, where we are, is more than double Super Bowl betting.
Wow.
Now, of course, we know there are a lot more games to bet on. That makes more sense. But that just shows you how huge this month is in Las Vegas. Right, RJ?
Absolutely. And maybe even more impressive if you look at the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those 4 days alone, more betting action than the Super Bowl. In fact, just to give you a little idea of how much attention the tournament gets, the Hard Rock Cafe here in Vegas has something called the Vinyl Room. So, you know, the Dice Man's played there, various musicians, Courtney Love, et cetera, et cetera. On Thursday night, they're hosting us doing a live podcast in that room talking about the games. Wow. So it really is a situation where most people only care about college basketball a couple weeks a year, but these couple weeks, they really care.
Now, when is it Warren Buffett who offers the $1 billion or whatever it is for a perfect bracket?
He did for a while. Then everyone's kind of realized it's so hard to do.
What are the odds?
Has anyone ever gotten a perfect bracket?
First of all, no one I've ever seen legitimately. In fact, you can bet right now, will someone on ESPN, which has the biggest free brackets, right? Will anyone have a perfect bracket? You can get 60-1 against anybody doing it. And it's just, listen, there's only 9.2 quintillion brackets.
I'm sorry, what?
Just 9.2 quintillion. So take 9 trillion, then times a million.
Oh, my God.
And you've got a quintillion.
So you're saying there's a chance.
The biggest chance ever is when I say a big number like that, someone on Twitter says, so you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. That is the lock. Let me just give you one. I've got a bunch of these I tweet out. Let me give you one.
All right.
If you created one bracket a second, so imagine you had Chip, for example, say, all right, you're just going to be creating one bracket a second. That's all you're doing. Boom, 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 boom. One a second, right? It would take 292 billion years to create every possible bracket.
All right, but isn't it possible that the first one would be right and then the rest of the 92 billion years would be wrong?
It is possible.
It is possible. Right? And you sound like someone that plays the Powerball, so congratulations.
Poking holes in your theory. All right, let me ask one more broad question, then we'll get into some specifics. Even casual basketball fans know that North Carolina is great, that Duke is great, that Gonzaga is great, that Kentucky is great. They have been historically great programs all along, right? Are there how do I phrase this question? Is there any way, there's no way to predict who's going to be last year's Virginia, which is the number one seed that gets bumped from the front. And that's why everybody's bracket gets busted at some point, right?
Yeah, but here's the flip side, though. What makes it so fun is the casual fan, the secretary.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
The person who, yeah, you know, doesn't follow it, they've got those little numbers beside the teams on the brackets. So you don't even have to know, you know, just pulling up a bracket right now, you don't even have to know that Duke is better than, let's say, North Dakota State. Almost anyone would know that, but you're going to see a 16 by North Dakota State and a 1 by Duke, and it's like, well, one's better. So that allows everyone to participate. That's why literally more people participate in brackets than Super Bowl betting, just because it's so easy to throw $5 in and do a bracket, even if you haven't watched 1 second of college basketball this season.
Here's what drives me crazy, is the person that chooses them based on the color of the uniforms almost always wins.
But, or the mascot.
Mascot.
Here's what we know is I've had 5 winning NFL seasons, 5 for 5 with you guys.
Right.
I'm 0 for 4 in our bracket contest. So I don't know if you guys are having one this year, but I, you know, I don't.
I mean, we only let in winners.
That's Well, that sounds stupid, first of all.
We are having one, and you are invited, Dave tells me. So we will take your money in other
words. Okay, I don't want to brag, RJ, yes. But I won last year.
That's kind of, you're making the point.
And exactly. How did you bet?
I bet on, like, well, green and white, sure, with Michigan State, and then okay, there's one team in Rhode Island. I remember that the Patriots always used to go down there because they had the best strippers. So that's how I did my bracket
last
year.
That is part of my factor, too, so
absolutely.
That's interesting.
Okay.
But, but what I will say is there's just the right amount of luck, where someone like me probably is going to win more than the average person, but not so much the average person won't participate.
What are some of your tips beyond obviously picking the ones over the 16s that you can recommend for the casual fan listening this morning?
And first, I got to say, this is a pending trademark, so don't try to use it. Right. Cinderella has a curfew. What it means is at each round, there's a ceiling. And if your seed is higher than that, you're not going to make that round. So let me give you a good example.
Okay.
A lot of teams make the Sweet 16, which means you got to win the first 2 rounds. But if you want to make the Elite 8, you need to be an 11 seed or better. There's only been 1 Elite 8 team in modern history. So there's been 280 of them in modern history. Only one of them has been seeded worse than number 11. So you always hear about number 12s and they make their advance, but they don't make the Elite 8. So at each round, and I actually put this up at the website for free, is that each round there's just these rules. Advance this many of these, but don't advance someone worse than this, because history says it's not going to happen.
The website is pregame.com. Bean usually mentions that at the end, but I thought I'd throw it in now that you're talking about it.
And here, thank you. And here's a great example. Last 30 seasons, the NCAA champion has been a number 4 seed or better. So you have 4 quadrants, so there's 16 4 seeds or better. So history tells us, with one exception in 3 decades, that one of those 16 teams are going to win. But somehow the NCAA does a great job of making everyone excited about it. But really, those 16 teams, history says, are the ones with the best chance. Duke, by the way, is the number 1 favorite.
Yeah,
healthy Zion Williamson.
They got Zion and all the history right. And explain that, because they're the favorite. So what's betting look like in real dollar terms on a team like Duke this year?
Now, this is one of the biggest favorites in the last decade. So if you just looked at the beginning of each tournament and said, who's the favorite, what are they paying, Duke this year would be probably the second biggest favorite of any team in the last decade, with the exception, you might remember, Kentucky had an undefeated team 5 or so years ago that everyone thought, oh my God, how good they were. Well, they ended up getting beat. Anthony Davis was on that team.
So what does plus 250 mean?
So that means 100 wins you $250. So even though Duke is a clear favorite, you still almost triple your money if Duke wins. Gonzaga on the West Coast is 5-1, North Carolina 8-1. Virginia 8-1, Kentucky 12-1. So those are the big favorites. And as you mentioned, a lot of blue bloods, a lot of names you hear year after year in the tournament are some of the favorites.
Do you have a pick, just a random pick of those best teams for who's going to get knocked out? Because everybody that's filling out the brackets has to go, okay, somebody's going to lose and ruin most people's bets. Right?
One of the basic rules is you only advance 3 number one seeds to the Elite Eight. So the one seed that we've knocked out, the number one, is Gonzaga. We think Florida State beats them. So amongst all the number one seeds, which is Duke and Virginia and North Carolina and Gonzaga, we think Gonzaga is the one that goes out first.
So Gonzaga is no longer the Cinderella team. They've proven to be too good over the last few years for that, but you're still saying they're not elite enough to keep going.
Yeah, gotcha. They're the second favorite right now behind Duke.
Wow, there's so much information on the NCAA tournament, as you can imagine, up at pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Also, RJ has a podcast called RJ Bell's Dream Preview, available on iTunes with college football and NFL episodes each week. Everything you need for the biggest games of the week at pregame.com. And you're still doing this straight out of Vegas with RJ Bell. I imagine this is a huge week on your national sports betting show, too, right?
Yeah, 200 stations, Fox Sports Radio. When you say still doing it, it's like it's shocking they haven't fired me after five
no.
months.
That's what I heard.
Is that the implication?
That's what I was picking up.
I mean, I'm going for 30 years like you guys, right? So, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, every weekday, Fox Sports Radio.
Have a fantastic tournament if we don't talk to you. I suspect we may dip in with you again when it gets to Final Four time. But
that would be my
us.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, RJ.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Allie is here. She comes bearing gifts. What's going on and what's happening?
I sure do. We're talking WonderCon, you guys. WonderCon at the Anaheim Convention Center, March 29th through the 31st. I've got a pair of one-day passes. You're going to head on down there, just check out all the cool stuff. This year, WonderCon Anaheim is going to feature presentations from all of the normal ones that you'd expect from Amazon, DC, Marvel, Nerdist, Warner Brothers, everybody down there, and special guests, award-winning writers and artists from the world of pop culture, including Greg Capullo, Jen Bartel, Scott Snyder. It's going to be a fun time down there in Anaheim. If you want to go, just be caller 20, 21, and 22. And you three winners are going to get a pair of one-day tickets to WonderCon Anaheim at the Anaheim Convention Center. Good times,
I've been. Very fun.
It is fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put on a good show. So James Gunn's Suicide Squad, going to be a total reboot of the franchise.
What they do.
Well, producer Peter Safran says that director James Gunn's upcoming Suicide Squad film is a total reboot, shouldn't be referred to as Suicide Squad 2. The name the studio is using is The Suicide Squad, so no telling if that's the final name, just working title. That's unconfirmed.
Oh, that does sound totally different.
But Gunn, who's the Guardians of Galaxy writer and director, recently reinstated for Volume 3, will write and direct The Suicide Squad. And regarding the script, this is the part that everybody's like, huh? What? Tell me more. Safran said, it's everything you would hope from a James Gunn script, and I think that says a lot. And that promises a lot. And I know that we will deliver a lot. I mean, that's not bad, right?
It's a lot of a lot.
It's a lot of a lot. Good stuff there. But a lot of people were a little worried about Suicide Squad. Is it just going to be the same thing? But if he's doing a total reboot,
yeah, I doubt
that sounds real exciting.
Yeah.
You guys, SNL, no stranger to accusations of plagiarism. Remember 2014, they came under fire from a group here in L.A., the Groundlings, about one of their sketches. And then Tig Notaro accused the show of basing one of their sketches featuring the host, Louis C.K., on one of her shorts that he knew about. So a real bad situation. But then, of course, there's also the parallel thinking aspect of it, which Key and Peele responded to because they had two similar sketches about boarding an airplane in a two-week period in 2013 that Key and Peele did and SNL
I remember that one. And there was a Tiny Hats one with Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
That they had a Tiny Hats sketch just like Tim and Eric. Very weird.
Peele wound up coming out on Twitter and saying, nobody freak out. It's a total coincidence. Everyone calm down. But SNL is now on the receiving end of new plagiarism accusations by a New York-based sketch group called Temple Horses. The group even had a lawyer send a statement to NBC about it. The founders of Temple Horses, Nick Ruggia and Ryan Hoffman, they believe the show ripped off not one, but two of their old sketches four pre-taped segments that they've done. The first was a pumpkin patch sketch that aired on SNL in October. And they have basically, they're saying the same sketch called Effing a Pumpkin, which they uploaded to YouTube back in 2014. Then the second one that was just on with Don Cheadle hosting it was called Pound Puppy. And they said that they plagiarized their sketch from 2011 called Pet Blinders. So the fact that it's the same sketch group and two separate instances seems a bit...
I'm sorry? That's a legal term?
Yes, it is.
You have
I'm just saying, SNL, watch your back. Stop stealing.
Okay.
Allegedly.
And that ain't right.
It ain't right. Jessica Simpson seems to have been pregnant for a very long time, you guys.
She looks like a pot roast in that photo.
She posted a picture yesterday.
Are we into April the Giraffe territory here?
Well,
it's 2 years and 1 month, if that means anything.
Am I allowed to say I saw her at the doctor? Kinda.
No. No.
I mean, she wasn't in the doctor's office.
But no.
I like that you say that out loud.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I'm asking.
Anyway, I saw the photo.
Well, she posted a photo. She's in a bikini top and then her full belly. She doesn't look thrilled on her face. However, the caption... I just thought it was adorable because it's Jessica Simpson and she wrote Jess-tation. It's just all right.
Can we file Jessica Simpson?
Yeah. Oh, it was adorable. Oh. Gestation because of a gestation period.
In that photo, her
we get it.
Her face looks pregnant in that photo.
Yeah, she's done.
Everything's just like bursting, like a pop, like it's like popping. Do you know what I mean? She looks sad. Like, it looks like she's eaten a hometown buffet, maybe for 3 weeks in a row. Oh, I got it. Done. He talked.
Why'd you talk?
Come on. I was going to go,
bury himself.
We were going to go all morning.
My bad.
She looks very pregnant because guess what? She is very pregnant. And some people hold their pregnancy in different ways.
She's uncomfortable.
No one's allowed to look good pregnant unless they're married to Jensen.
That's what Jensen's saying.
That's what I'm hearing.
I actually think she looks fine. I think she looks uncomfortable is more what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Oh, agreed. When you get to that point, you are uncomfortable.
2 years and 1 month? Yeah, you're ready to pop.
Hey, and a great thing to say to pregnant women is, how many got in there? Jesus. Don't do that ever.
There's a lady in Texas yesterday, guys, who,
yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
She went into labor, Kevin, at 4:50 a.m.
Yeah.
She was done at 4:59.
What?
But 9 minutes to deliver six babies.
What?
By C-section?
Nope.
What?
In 9 minutes. They just shot one right after another. Right.
That's actual
it.
Sound from that the was, delivery room.
I had it from the delivery room. Insane.
Six babies in 9 minutes.
I read the story and it said, woman delivers three sets of twins. And I'm like, wait, what? Okay.
That's crazy.
It's insane, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and they are all healthy, by the way. You know, the chances are very much against septuplets. The only thing I couldn't find in any of the articles is whether it was natural or if it was, fertility drugs. But they released the names of the two boys, have not released the names of the four girls yet. But it's a crazy story.
Nuts. Some birthdays for you. Bruce Willis, Clayton Kershaw, Glenn Close.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
You're going to be very excited, Kevin,
mm-hmm.
that just because you were on vacation and away from the show for a few days does
See?
Not mean that we stopped generating moments with.
Gracias.
Let's hear it.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Would you have ever expected after the Key and Peele's that...
What?
After the Key and Peele years, that Jordan Peele would go off to...
Key and Peele years.
What did I say?
Key and Pee?
Oh, no.
That was a moment with Bean.
Oh, no.
It's pretty sweet,
right?
That is pretty sweet.
It's fun when it's not you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, Allie is here with our final look at what's happening here on a Tuesday morning. What do you got?
And I feel like it was a twofer in there. He got two in.
Should we hear it again?
Yeah. Pay special attention.
All right.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Would you have ever expected after the Key and Peele's that...
What?
After the Key and Peele years, that Jordan Peele would go
Key
off to...
Key and Peele years.
What did I say?
Key and Pee?
Oh, no.
That was a moment with Bean.
The sadness in his voice.
So fun when it's someone else. This is great.
I enjoyed it, Bean. Good times. So, remember when Wendy Williams was gone from her daytime talk show from January until just about a week ago?
Yep. Yeah, and it sounded like she, for a while, it sounded like she wasn't coming back.
Wait, is she back?
Like she is done. Back. Yeah, oh, she came back on March 4th. But they attributed the hiatus to a fractured shoulder and her battle with Graves' disease. Mm-hmm. Well, she revealed something today on her show that she has been quietly focusing on her sobriety. She has been living in a sober house, and her quote on the show, she said, "For some time now, and even today and beyond, I've been living in a sober house. You know I've had a struggle with cocaine in my past. I never went to a place to get the treatment. I don't know how, except God was sitting on my shoulder, and I just stopped." She didn't confirm that it's cocaine again, mm-hmm. but she essentially said that nobody has known about this except for her cousin, Kevin Hunter, is the only one that knew she was seeking treatment. She said her day now is she goes to Pilates, then she goes to meetings all over town, and then she is back at this sober house. She's driven around by a 24-hour sober coach until she's back at the sober house, and she says she lives in this tri-state area with a bunch of smelly boys who have become my family.
Look, anything that keeps her off my TV, I support.
No.
Come on.
Yes. You support her doing coke so she stays off television?
That's whatever it takes.
That's a terrible thing to say.
We're saying that she not only is back on her show, but she's letting people know that are watching, listen, I have been a functioning addict for all these years. Maybe someone right now that's watching is too.
Mm. Look, I'm not wishing her any health problems. I want her to be healthy just away from the cameras.
Bean, can I ask you a question, though? Because her guest hosts weren't all that helpful. Because would you rather have her or Nick Cannon?
Oh,
what a real terrible Sophie's choice. Yeah.
However,
or Michael Rapaport, even worse.
Don't even bring that name
those
up.
Those were guest hosts also.
However, Jerry O'Connell was too.
Yeah, that's true.
National Treasure, Jerry O'Connell. Yep, just give it to Jerry O'Connell.
Yep, good point.
The way to do it is to pick hosts that suck.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, come back.
Did with the first two.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, good times, guys. Hey, Dwayne The Rock Johnson celebrated the world over for what? His muscles, right? His strength. He's a big dude. So not a shock that the 1st Armored Division at Fort Bliss decided to name a tank after him.
What?
They announced the move in a tweet. If you smell what America's tank division is cooking. And then they showed a picture of the tank, tweeted it to The Rock. Well, The Rock saw it. He gave them a shout out on Instagram, writing, "I'm sending a salute of respect and gratitude to the Blackhawk Squadron's 1st Armored Division for the honor of naming their tank the most advanced in the world, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Heavy duty, badass, sexy AF, and built to take care of business."
Wow. That's less a thank you than look at me.
He's pretty chill.
Pretty much let me bone this tank is what I got from it. But then he wrote, "But most importantly, thank you all for your service. Grateful to the bone." Obviously, what can you find wrong with that, right?
No, he's the best.
Oh, well, people found stuff wrong with it.
Not The Rock.
The Rock, yeah. This is my favorite from a woman. "Well, I really like you as a person and everything, but what is a tank meant for? It's meant to take the lives of human beings and others, and that is not admirable. I hope it won't get used. May God bless you all. Peace and love." Next one. "That's not something to be very proud of. It'll be your name on a tank that kills innocent people. Calm your tees, people."
I think you want your military to have tanks.
Yes.
In the event of them being necessary to fight wars.
By the way, not to get too controversial, but no one except for the United States, I think, spends more time making sure they don't kill innocent people.
Well, yeah, we spend tons on quote-unquote defense.
And, like, laser-guided missiles and stuff like that, just to be sure. Yeah. I mean,
we do kill a lot.
We need a tank, is what we're saying.
Right. But tanks are very important, is the bottom line to
this
story.
Let's not skimp the budget on the tanks.
Right?
Yeah.
Honestly, people will find fault with anything. I mean, if you did look at a statement, you'd be like, The Rock wants to bone the tank. That's what he's getting at. That's very sexual. And I am turned on now. That's what I got from
it. But I'm offended.
What?
I'm writing a strongly worded letter to you now. How about that? I'm cranking up my own outrage machine.
Oh, no. So comedian Amy Schumer is getting very personal in her new Netflix special, which I believe came out last night, right? At midnight?
This week, yeah.
Yeah. It's Amy Schumer growing, and she talks about pregnancy, marriage, and in the process revealed that her husband, Chris Fisher, is on the spectrum. So she told the Chicago crowd in the special, "I knew from the beginning that my husband's brain was a little different than mine. I have to start this over because I really want to get this right because I love him very much." So she didn't want to make a joke out of saying, "Oh, my husband might have Asperger's," that type of thing.
Right.
So I guess she details it in a story about how he basically is on the autism spectrum with Asperger's. And she said she realized it. Her first inkling was she said she told the story about how she fell down during a walk together. And she said 9 out of 10 people would go, "Oh, my God, are you okay?" And she said maybe more like 10 out of 10. Instead, my husband kind of froze, became a lighthouse, just opening and closing his mouth. And she said, "I remember laying on the ground looking up at him. I wasn't mad. I just thought, huh." And then she said, "I had a lot of huh moments dating him." And then once he was diagnosed, he wasn't diagnosed until they were together.
Oh, I see.
She said it was so funny because all of the characteristics that make it clear that he's on the spectrum are all of the reasons that I fell madly in love with him.
That's so sweet.
Oh, it's so lovely. So, Bean, if you wanted to get tested...
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no testing needed.
We don't need to.
There's
but,
30 yeah. years of radio.
But, yeah, I do love that she then goes on to say to him, "Hey, does this look like S?" Like pointing to her dress. And he's like, "Yep. You got a lot of other clothes. Go pick one."
That's Bean.
She said he keeps it real, whatever's on his mind. He doesn't care about social norms or what you expect him to say or do.
He's a chef, right?
He's Bean, yes. is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, he's Bean.
She has married Bean. Yeah. But I just think it's so lovely for her to come out with that and be like, "Listen, totally normal, everything's fine."
Also, what I love about
him. Everything about what makes him on the spectrum is how and why I fell in love with him. So,
I guess there is what do they say, a lid for every pot.
That is what they say if you are 94.
It's an expression meaning there's someone for everyone.
Right, from the 1920s.
Good that they found each other.
That my nana said. Absolutely.
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
You kept it a bean. You certainly did. Well, a lot of tweets about this Jelly Belly line. Jelly beans.
What's going on?
Well, what's happening right now? Jelly Belly creator David Klein is adding CBD oil to a line of his candies after learning more about all of the health benefits of the oil extract. The company's Spectrum Confections is selling CBD oil in bulk. They have original sugar-free sour flavors, 38 flavors, including toasted marshmallow, mango, and pina colada.
Do we need all of that?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. People take it for anxiety, for pain. Dogs are taking it for epilepsy. I mean, there's so many great, great things mm-hmm. that come from CBD oil.
Smoke weed every day.
Again, it's not weed. It doesn't get you high. It's good. Thank you, Ellen McKay, for CBD oil.
Stay off the weed.
It's not the weed part.
Again,
no THC.
Not going to make you high. Not going to make you high. Guys, when's the last time you got a new pillow?
New pillow? Probably.
I got one rather recently, actually.
Really? How long?
We made the move.
Though?
Year and a half, maybe?
I did.
Too long?
No, I don't think you want to hear my answer.
I do want to hear it because I think that you're everyone.
I think that before mm-hmm. I have a fiance, mm-hmm. I believed I changed pillows once every 6 years.
Yeah. I think you're normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I know that researchers say every 3 months is when you should be changing your pillow.
Yeah, they just want you to buy more pillows.
They want you to buy more pillows.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's big pillow.
That is big pillow in their pocket. I've talked about it before. I like a flatter pillow. And mm-hmm. once I find a flat pillow that is good, mm-hmm. I keep it.
Yeah, why
years.
Would you change it up if you love it?
Absolutely. Well, they're saying because it loses, a lot of people in the study, they say there's ways to tell if it's time for you to get a new pillow. First, lay a pillow across your arm. If it folds over like a saddlebag, time to ditch it.
No.
That's when it's good, right?
But
that's
like
when
that.
It's good.
That's
We're
when it's broken.
Disgusting! We're a disgrace to our family! Also, place a pillow on a firm surface. Press down in the center. A good pillow will pop back up into place once you lift your hand. Again, I don't want that.
That's too bouncy.
Agree. Sleep experts say that your best bet is to choose a medium-height pillow that offers support for side sleeping and the shallowness needed for back sleeping. I say get a pillow that you like, and yeah, sure, you're sweating all over it. Yeah, it's got all of your dead skin embedded in it, but it's your sweat, and it's your dead skin. Get out of my pocket, big pillow.
But you can wash your pillowcase and not have to sleep in your own
words
sweat.
That have never been said.
Yeah, you wash your pillowcase. It doesn't mean it's not seeping into your pillow.
Yeah, at least once a week with the pillowcases.
At least.
That I was always on top of.
You sickos.
I'm going to bite my pillow is what I'm going to do.
If you're doing a lot of that, that might change it up. Yeah. Some birthdays for you guys. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw. Actors Bruce Willis and Glenn Close, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie, and your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Thomas Lennon will join us.
Yay.
Fast food news with Jensen and snowplow parents. What's up? Plus, your chance to win tickets for the Black Keys at the Forum, and you qualify to see them again at the Life is Beautiful Festival.